Happy Sunday and happy Easter. My name is Jim DeGenis. The name of our program is called Reflections. And for the next 30 minutes, we'll be reading a devotional called Jesus Calling. And then we'll read from the Holy Scripture. We're in the middle of the book of Acts. We're starting chapter 8 today. But like I said, it is Easter time. And by the way, I think I may have forgotten that the program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. And I read to you this morning or this afternoon from the North Carolina Reading Service. As mentioned, happy Easter. It is the day where we celebrate Jesus' rising from the dead, destroying death. Death could not keep its hold on Jesus. Jesus was there at the beginning with God. He was the Word. And we're so appreciative of the love that God has for us to give us this day to celebrate His one and only Son's death and resurrection from that dead, that we may have life in Him, life through Him, and now life with God. Amen and hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this glorious Easter. Father, we thank You for the many blessings You've given us. Help open our hearts to Your word, to Your message. Help open our hearts to Your unfailing love and Your desire for us to be Yours. Help each and every one of us to believe in the name of Your Son, Jesus, to know Him personally, to invite Him into our world, our lives, our hearts. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, who is with us at all times and lives within us to be our conscience, to help us make good decisions, great decisions, to help us give You praise and glory and honor. May that Holy Spirit live within us and have fire within us that we just convert and commit our lives to You. Not sometime, not on Sundays, not just during prayer time, but all times. Father, we each and every one of us needs that commitment. We need that encouragement. We need that knowledge that we are Yours at all times. And we thank You for the North Carolina Reading Service to provide this type of programming. We thank You for the many other wonderful programs that they provide. We thank You. We thank their volunteers and their donors and the fine people that run the program. Wonderful organization. Father, we pray for our world. We pray for Ukraine and pray for peace. We pray for peace this day and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Easter again. Sarah Young teaches us this day. I am training you in steadiness. Too many things interrupt your awareness of me. I know that you live in a world of sight and sound, but you must not be a slave to these stimuli. Awareness of me can continue in all circumstances, no matter what happens. This is the steadiness I desire for you. Don't let unexpected events throw you off course. Rather, respond calmly and confidently, remembering that I am with you. As soon as something grabs your attention, talk with me about it. Thus, I share your joys and your problems. I help you cope with whatever is before you. This is how I live in you and work through you. This is the way of peace. Two scriptures. One comes from Psalm 112, verse 7. He will have no fear of bad news, for his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And then from Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So we have been reading Acts the last couple weeks. We will continue with Acts today. Last week, we were introduced to Stephen, who was the first martyr of the Christian faith. Stephen was selected by the apostles to help out with a problem that there was with amongst feeding widows. And he kind of rose to a very wonderful reputation of being a godly man, a spirit-filled man. And he it was his life that was taken away after he gave a history of the entire Jewish faith to the leaders of the church at the time. People lied about Stephen. They gave false witness about him to bring him in front of that court, if you will. But Stephen's testimony, the history of the church, the history of Judaism, the history of God and God's creation, was quite offensive to the leaders of the church. They did not look at themselves as non-believers of God or having anything to do with the blood on their hands or their father's hands of the many prophets. And they certainly didn't want to hear that they were responsible for the blood, the death of Jesus the Christ. So they killed him. They stoned Stephen. And we were just briefly introduced to a person in the Bible named Saul. And we're going to pick up there, chapter 8. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. And again, that's Stephen's death. This becomes the second part of the of Peter's portion. So it's called the expansion of the church. So on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout of Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Philip in Samaria. Verse 4, chapter 8. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Simon the sorcerer, verse 9. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip wherever and astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you said can happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road and the desert road and go down to from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. Quote, he was like a sheep to the slaughter. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Close quote. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. But then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way, rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Chapter 9, Saul's Conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on the straight street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go to this man, for he is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him, but his followers took him by the night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydia. There was a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was also doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in a room upstairs. Lydia was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Chapter 10, entitled Cornelius Calls for Peter. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius?" Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial of offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel spoke to him and had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Peter's vision, verse 9. About noon the following day, they were on their journey and approached the city. Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice called to him, said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter said. "I have never eaten anything that was impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Peter at Cornelius' house. Verse 24. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. Talking with Peter, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit with him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So I was sent for you. So when I was sent for, I came without raising an objection. May I ask you why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest at the house of the home. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God has sent to the people of Israel, telling them the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus the Nazarene with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are all witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by the witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. I want to repeat that. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one who God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Then Peter said, Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Chapter 11. Peter explains his actions. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, You went into the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with them. Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord, nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke for a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then was pulled up into heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent for me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me and entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon them as he had come upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." The Church in Antioch, verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to preach to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of God's grace, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire world, Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to their ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Well, that's the end of chapter 11. We'll pick up next week with chapter 12. I hope you've been enjoying the reading of Acts. It is, again, a history of the early church, and that the Word of God is meant not just for the Jewish faithful, but also for all Gentiles. And anyone and everyone who's been born has the opportunity to hear the Word of God. So thank you. We've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Be sure to listen to us next weekend. I hope you have a happy Easter. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is for the blind and print impaired. May God bless you and those you love this day and every day.